There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Welcome to College Football Live. I am Peter Burns, joined left to right on the television screen there. Brock Heward and David Pollack. Hair's looking good, Pollack. Glad you were able to join us here today. All right, we got some news to break down, so let's get right into it. Southern Cal and Clay Helton, they found their new OC. Former Texas Tech quarterback Graham Harrell will be the new offensive coordinator for the Trojans. Harrell was the OC at North Texas for the last 3 years, cut from that same air raid offense as Cliff Kingsbury. So for one Texas Tech QB OC to another, Brock, is this the right fit for the Trojans?
No. No, I don't like this fit at all, Peter. And it has really nothing to do with Cliff or Graham as coaches or as people or as human beings. You ask me about fit. I don't think USC has to run the air raid. I mean, this is USC, is it not? This is the bluest of the blue bloods out west. This is one of the few schools, I think, in the Pac-12 that can select their kind of players and not just have to try to recruit. You can pick which system you want. You know, the air raid is for, you know, Mike Leach up in Pullman or down in Lubbock. And, you know, when you don't have the kind of personnel to go toe for toe, do you realize when Pete Carroll, and I was on with Andy Staples and Jason Horowitz this morning, and Jason did this homework, when Pete Carroll was at USC and had his dynastic run from 2004 to 2010, he had 18 guys around the line of scrimmage drafted in the first three rounds, O-line and front seven, 18 drafted in those 7 years. Since then, over the last eight, you've only had eight guys drafted. I mean, you can build it. You should be able to build it from the inside
Pollack,
out.
But Pollack, maybe
and not
well,
have
hold
to
on.
Play in a system from the outside in.
Right, but David, isn't that one of the reasons why he's doing it? Saying, hey, listen, we haven't been able to recruit that way. Maybe, Pollack, that's the reason why they're going more to an air raid.
Well, here's the thing. I think Brock's right about the system, and the system is made usually for to hide your weaknesses and to really expose a defense and find ways to have success. But here's the thing, Brock. Now think about this offense with elite players. Think about this offense with elite dynamic wide receivers on the outside if you ran it well. I'm not sold on the hire. I'm not going to lie. Now, you give me Cliff Kingsbury, I am sold. Cliff Kingsbury, to me, was a knockout home run because Cliff Kingsbury has a swagger and a confidence about him that beams Hollywood to me. I would have been fine with that. This will be a more interesting fit. But listen, we haven't seen the air raid, Brock, really with elite dynamic wide receivers, with hand-picked guys that, you're right, they get their hand-picked. So I think it'll be interesting to watch.
You know what I have seen, David? I've seen air raid systems that play no defense. So it's not only playing the game from the outside in, it's the way it affects your overall program. You're soft on defense. You're soft anyway. So you're going to play Stanford and Washington and Utah in your conference. And to me, this system, and we can look at Oklahoma that scores lots of points, they can't stop anybody on defense. Yep. I've yet to see a really hard-nosed, put your hand in the dirt, play championship-level, balanced football offensively and defensively in that system. So that, too, from a program standpoint, would scare me if I'm USC.
One caveat, they've been soft for the last several years. So this is what USC has been. So
all right, so David, look at their schedule coming up. As we look for the Trojans, what they have coming up in 2019, when will we know and whether or not this quote-unquote worked for Graham Harrell? You see Fresno State, but then Stanford at BYU. Then they've got that run at Washington, at Notre Dame.
Look at the physical matchups, Brock. Second game, third game. I mean, look at that. Second game, third game, fourth game, fifth game, sixth game in a row. All physical, hit you in the mouth, physical team. So we're going to find out fast. Listen, what kind of difference this offense makes. Clay Helton has had to do something. You know, he didn't get fired in the offseason, but there's been rumblings the last year and a half now about his program, and he had to make a change. He had to go in a different direction. He made his decision, and this is what happens, Brock. Now you fire a coordinator, and if you don't perform and it doesn't change, what happens next? They get rid of the head coach. So we're going to know right out the gate week 3, week 4, week 5, week 6 if this project's going to work or not.
I mean, this is still USC, okay? This is still LA. This is still the number two media market. This is still the school with the most history and tradition in that conference. And this is a school that had a dynastic run not 40 years ago or 50 years ago in the 2000s with Pete Carroll that showed you how to do it, playing balanced football, championship football at the line of scrimmage. I just feel like this is a reach.
Hey, guys, remember, too, they just lost their five-star signee, the wide receiver Brew McCoy, who decided to go to Texas when Cliff Kingsbury decided to take the Arizona job. All right, let's go over to the Big 12 news from Stillwater. Mike Gundy has found his new OC. And, Pollock, it's a guy that you love. We're talking Sean Gleason, the new Cowboys OC. He goes from the Tigers of Princeton out to Oklahoma State Cowboys. That Princeton team set an Ivy League record, 474 points on the season. Highest scoring offense in FBS in 2018. You're all hot and bothered about this hire.
Can he show his picture again because he's 12? I mean, he just turned 12 last month. So I absolutely love Gundy and the way he hires coaches. It doesn't matter where you coach ball. If you coach ball well offensively, Mike Yurich a couple years ago, he reached down into FCS and had a lot of success. And this is a guy, Sean Gleason, if you go and do some homework, and listen, you hear about this stuff over through, and you hear about good guys throughout the business and where you travel and you see cool things. This guy's innovative, man. A jet sweep pass. How about some more action off of this? You can see a fake jet sweep after this play. Look, this is a wide receiver throwing a touchdown pass in the red. Some good creativity. Now you come out. Brock, how about the fake jet sweep, fake pop, or a fake QB draw, you know, QB power, pop pass over the top. So I like the creativity. I don't know why, but I decided to go watch a bunch of Princeton football and watch their offense. And I think it was extremely creative. But here's the thing. Very physical, very creative, shifts, motions. I think dual threat quarterback, which you've seen Gundy over the last several years, wants to bring in and continue to use. I think this cat's going to be with Gundy. I think this cat's, I know he's 28 years old. I think the offense will be phenomenal for Oklahoma State.
Well, I think what's kind of fun is Oklahoma State really is the Ivy League of the Big 12. I mean, so there's a very natural transition there to Stillwater for him from Princeton. But beyond that, Davey, and I love the point you made earlier, and I will second that, and that is Mike Gundy has built a culture and a foundation. So you know what he can do? He can take a risk. He can go outside the norm. He can find, just simply put, the best coach with the stuff that he enjoys watching and teaching and developing. It reminds me of Mike Bellotti, you know, when he went to New Hampshire and found this guy named Chip Kelly. Yeah, that, you know, and for the same reasons, Bellotti was established in Eugene. He had been there decades. He was Eugene, just as, you know, Mike Gundy is Stillwater. He is Oklahoma State. He doesn't feel the pressure to have to hire the guy that people know. He's built the foundation, and he can bring in, simply in his mind, the most innovative and best coach.
Yeah, Brock, you don't like the risk of Graham Harrell, but you love the risk of a guy that's 28 years old who may have to wear the mullet like Gundy in Gleason. I got it. I'm following you about this one. All right, how about this? You're talking about young guys. How about Joe Brady over at LSU? Talking about college guys going to the NFL. Now we're talking an NFL guy going to down to the 225. He's going to be the new passing game coordinator and wide receivers coach. Of course, he was there for 2 years. Pollock, this young guy is 28 years old. This is a direction they're trying to go, because isn't that what's been holding back LSU for, I don't know, the last 40, 50 years, is not having a passing game?
There's no doubt. And I think when you see last year, the offense started to kind of, it started to come along a little bit. And I think what you saw they did best was the RPO game. And that's why you bring in Brady. He's an RPO guy, spending time with, might be the most creative play caller or one of the best play callers in all of football, period, with Sean Payton. So they need help in this area. I think it's interesting. Brock, he's 28 years old, replacing a passing game coordinator who was over 70 years old. So you got a defensive line coach that's now 30. You got another young, you see this trend now in college football. We just talked about an offensive coordinator going to Oklahoma State at 28. You know, you don't have to be an old guy anymore. You don't have to be a super experienced guy anymore that can bring new, fresh ideas. And I think there's a guy playing for the Super Bowl for the Rams that kind of set that trend in motion that, you're seeing now being followed up at LSU and other places.
Well, I would say this, Peter, to your point earlier, that, yeah, I was hard on the Graham Harrell move because there's no foundation and culture at USC. You feel like you're reaching. Mike Gundy is established. He'd been there for decades. And right. to me, you take that risk. And if you're Ed Orgeron, I mean, this is a have to. You have been so backwards in your passing game. So to me, this was a must to try to energize it with some youth and with somebody that's been around some pretty good ball the last few years.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I can say after seeing what the Saints did, outside of Michael Thomas, LSU may have a more talented group of wide receivers than the Saints had this year, and they had success. All right, how about top five play callers? Let's talk about all of college football right now. Brock, starting with you, what's your list? What do you got?
Well, I love what Lincoln Riley does. I think week to week he takes apart defenses with his own scheme and using his personnel. And I can't wait to watch what he does with Jalen Hurts. Jimbo Fisher, to me, in game, there's nobody better. And you talk to a lot of defensive coordinators, and he's the one they constantly point to. And I think his draft capital at the quarterback position speaks to it. I think Dan Mullen is tremendous. You know, I watched him against Don Brown in Michigan in that bowl game, the Peach Bowl, and just his innovative ways to beat man-to-man coverage, and look what he's done with quarterbacks and elevating their play. So a lot of my list here is really guys that have elevated quarterbacks. Jim Chaney, the whole group at Clemson, I can't single that triumvirate out. So I think all of those guys maximize their quarterbacks, and Davey, to me, do a great job at taking apart the defense.
Dang, list of seven there. You're just throwing in extra names. I hear you, Brock. Lincoln Riley, Baker Mayfield to Kyler Murray, Heisman. Right. There's no need to say anything else. Jeff Brohm, he doesn't get near enough credit. I think he's phenomenal. Not just the trick plays, but the passing game, the creativity. They still run the football. I love what Jeff Brohm does. Jimbo Fisher, more pro style in game, like you said. Ryan Day, I think when Urban Meyer was out of the way last year to start the season, was even better. And I think the offense will be way better with him. I think he does a great job with the passing concepts and beating man-to-man coverage like he did with Michigan, but wanting to run the football more. And Mike Leach, I mean, talk about consistently doing more with less. Where was Gardner Minshew a year ago? Tell me that. Where was he at?
He was growing a mustache. Then all of a sudden he became a late-season Heisman Trophy guy.
He's a grad transfer gone. He's on the list. Boom.
I will say this. I'm glad you brought up Ryan Day because it leads us to what we're about to talk about. Because college football landscape, it starts and ends right now in Columbus, Ohio, because two marquee names in the transfer portal that transferred can shape this game going forward. Welcome back to College Football Live. This we know for sure. Justin Fields has transferred from Georgia to Ohio State after playing 1 year for the Bulldogs. What we don't know is if he will be eligible to play this season for Ryan Day and the Buckeyes. Now back, and we're talking about this topic. Now, it's kind of an interesting situation. Justin Fields has requested an immediate eligibility request or a waiver, and there's some a little bit of storyline behind it. So here's the storyline. Remember, name back up to Jake Fromm in the preseason. In October, there were racist comments or alleged racist comments by a baseball player at Georgia, and that baseball player was caught on film talking about Justin Fields. He was then dismissed from the program. He appeared in 12 games. Never started. He decided that he was going to transfer, and now he's at Ohio State. And Davey, there's a lot of questions on where, if possible, if he's going to be reinstated and he could be eligible immediately. So you've been there in Athens. Should he get that immediate eligibility?
No, he shouldn't. It's just like anybody else. You know, you choose to go to a different school, and if it's a Division I program and you go somewhere else, it's there, as long as the rule's in place. Now, listen, if we want to discuss if the rule needs to be changed, that's a different debate. But as the rule stands now, you go from Georgia to Ohio State, you're supposed to sit out a year. And I don't think that. Listen, I live in Athens. Obviously, I'm around here and close to the program, and we all heard about the comments, and the comments were taken care of very quickly. And since that point, Justin never had any issues here at the University of Georgia, so much so that his sister actually signed at the University of Georgia from that point on. So obviously, it wasn't a big deal, but I think the NCAA, because of how they operate and never wanting to bring attention, I think they might grant him the ability to play right away. I wouldn't, because you have rules in place right now, and I think you should follow those rules.
Yeah, I don't mind the grad transfer at all. I think you've earned that right. I don't mind if your coach leaves and departs you, the guy that brought you to that program. I think that should free up players to be immediately eligible. We have certainly seen over the years plenty of hardships with family members that get sick or different family situations that players have to go to. So in all of those situations, I have no issue. This would be one and would start to set a precedent that would be pretty alarming to me, that if it just doesn't work out and you get beat out, and there were some circumstances. They were certainly taken care of there on campus at Georgia. But to me, this would set a pretty dangerous precedent. But the NCAA doesn't have the kind of teeth that they had when Davey and I were playing 10, 20 years ago. And it did, you know, to Davey's point, it feels like they don't want to put themselves right in the middle of many of these stories. Yep.
Yeah, let's go ahead and take a look at what the transfer rules are, guys. And, of course, immediate eligibility may be provided if the transfer is due to documented mitigating circumstances outside the student-athlete's control, directly impacting the health, safety, and well-being of the student-athlete. Justin Fields has hired Thomas Mars, who helped with the Shea Patterson situation. And I will say this. I've talked to schools that were involved in the conversations after he went into the transfer portal, so to say, and they said that this was never really brought up during the process of him transferring. It's almost kind of like behind the scenes. Oh, yeah, by the way, now I'd like to be immediately eligible. So we'll see how that plays into it. All right, listen, Brock, let's start here, though. If Ryan Day doesn't get Justin Fields immediately eligible, Tate Martell's already transferred. Where does that leave the Buckeyes?
Well, it leaves them awfully thin. But to Davey's point earlier, if I were to continue to extend my list and add to even more tremendous play callers, Ryan Day and that program at Ohio State, it's been pretty proven. They've run through a lot of different quarterbacks and a lot of different skill sets with those quarterbacks. And it is still Ohio State. You still have depth, but you have nowhere near what you've had in years past. You may be a little careful about running your quarterbacks, and they will be thinner than they've been, but I don't think it will be a death nail to the 2019 season.
I don't think it'll be a death nail either, but I think you hit the nail on the head when you said you're less inclined to run your quarterback. I mean, you get in the red zone in Ohio State typically, and I think when their offense really got back to seeing it potent at the end of the season, you saw the ability for them to pull the ball with the quarterback, even if Haskins wasn't Barrett, you still saw him pull it more, and I think the offense flourished. I think this is an offense that needs a guy at the quarterback spot to be able to do that. When you have one guy, you're one hit away from going to your backup. Here's the thing, Brock. When you only have two guys, you still got to be careful. In garbage time, you got to be careful running guys. You got to be careful having a goal line package, a short yardage package, and a regular quarterback, because taking hits all the time. So I definitely think the depth of the quarterback spot is an issue for Ohio State going into next season.
Does Gardner Minshew have a seventh year or an eighth year, or is there another grad transfer
yes.
out there waiting?
Listen, he'll do it maybe in disguise or no mustache. We won't even know who he is. All right, coming up, speaking of disguises, Les Miles, an actor and also the Kansas head coach. Yeah, we'll talk about that. And we'll also get into college football coaches who should be going to Hollywood. That coming up next on College Football Live. We got a Super Tuesday doubleheader tonight. Kansas takes on Texas in Austin at 7 p.m. Eastern. Then Vandy hosts Kentucky at 9. And our Women's Thursday Night Showcase has number 2 UConn in Louisville to take on the number 3 Cardinals. 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN and the ESPN app. Todd McShay updated his top 32 prospects following the Senior Bowl. Nick Bosa still on top, followed by Bama's Quinton Williams. And top 9 prospects are all on the defensive side, and 4 of the top 5 hail from the SEC. So I'll start with the SEC guy, David Pollack. If you had to draft a game changer, right, a complete wrecker, who are you drafting off of that list?
The amazing thing is that Quinton Williams wasn't even talked about or thought about before the season happened, and
right?
I've never seen somebody wreck the game in the inside from him since an Aaron Donald, since a Sue. I mean, just a pure disruptive force. I think a guy that can rush the passer like that on the inside is rare and special. And in today's NFL, listen, when you're on defense, if you can't cover somebody or rush somebody, you're pretty much worthless. So Quinton Williams, to me, was one of the best players I've ever seen on tape, and I think he's going to do the same thing at the next level and be a wrecker.
Yeah, pretty remarkable, isn't it? The 9 of the top 10 in a league that is built for offense. that NFL and everything is about the offense and the Sean McVay. You better find defensive dudes. And this year, they got a bunch of them. And I love Jeffrey Simmons. In fact, when I did that Peach Bowl, Dan Mullen was still talking about Jeffrey Simmons and the impact he has as a player. He's gotten better and better and better each year. I love that. I love to see that growth and development. And these guys, the kind of athlete, and just like Quinnen that Davey was just talking about, when you're 6'4", when you're 310 pounds, and you can run down just about anybody from the backfield position,
right,
that's just some special stuff, and you're going to see them all in the top 10.
You see a name that we thought might be the overall number one. People are talking Heisman Trophy guys. Real quick, sorry, Brock or Davey. How about Ed Oliver, Brock? Where do we go with this young man?
Yeah, that guy is like Aaron Donald. Remember 2 years ago, he just came on the scene and everyone started to compare him to Aaron. And you know, his talent should put him probably above both Quinnen and Jeffrey, but it's not going to be just talent alone. And I think there's going to be some of those character challenges that they dig into a little bit more than just a jacket when you're dealing with him that I think unfortunately is going to push him down that draft board.
The cool thing about all those guys we've talked about is you don't question one of their hearts on the field. They all play exceptionally hard. I love that about all those guys.
Josh Allen at Kentucky on that list as well for me. All right, how
he's
about a little three
too.
And out? Yeah, all of those guys. You know, he was a freak and really good. That would be Bill Belichick. And let's start with him. He had a little praise for Kirby Smart.
I think Kirby's program is an excellent program to prepare players for the National Football League.
All right, a little love there, Pollock, right before signing it. Did Kirby call him and say, hey, can you put that in Super Bowl Media Day or what?
I don't know I don't know how that happened. I don't know how it came about. But, I mean, listen, when you talk about Nick and Kirby and these guys, defensive guys that get guys lined up in the correct position, play with the proper technique, every defensive coach appreciates and loves that, and Kirby's one of the best at it.
All right, moving on in three and out. Jim Harbaugh always likes a couple of headlines, right? Well, one of the headlines that
always.
He got was offering Deion Sanders' son a scholarship to go to Michigan. Now, Brock, remember, yeah, I mean, you got to love it, right? I don't know if he's sleeping in the bunk bed like he did with the kicker or what it was a while back, but you like this move?
Yeah, I do. I mean, that's one thing about Jim. You could question his record against Ohio State and maybe the end of year falling apart and slowing down. You will not question his ability and desire to recruit 365 days a year. It seems to motivate him and energize him as much as anything. And go get some prime time up in Ann Arbor. Not a bad deal.
He's verbally committed
to South Carolina.
Shut up. You offered prime time out the womb. Let's go. Come on, man.
Hey, you offer this guy, Les Miles, an Academy Award. He's in the new Challenger movie that's available in some theaters, but also he's playing a NASA analyst in Apple and Amazon. It's straight to there. So, guys, real quick, one coach in Hollywood. Who do you want, Brock?
P.J. Fleck, row that boat, man, all the way from Minnesota. He can do everything. He's a salesman. He's a adventure guy. He can do it all.
Pollock, who are you rolling with?
A sprinter. He even could be an athlete. How about my boy I talked about earlier, Cliff Kingsbury? He looks straight out of Hollywood.